Pastor Bill and Susan are away this week. In fact, they're in North Carolina, family celebration, having lots of fun. But when Pastor Bill is gone, we often have the gift of hearing others preach from the pulpit. Today we have Alan Lovejoy. Alan, come on up. We're going to pray, brother. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many gifts you bestow on your people. You say that every single one of us has gift upon gift to accomplish your purpose. And we thank you for that, Lord. Father, we thank you that you have gifted Alan to speak and that you've given him a particular message for today. We pray, Lord, that every word out of Alan's mouth might be your words, that it would go forth with power to touch the hearts and minds of the people here, Lord, and that you might be glorified as a result. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Michael.
Can you use this?
No, no, I got this. Am I on, Robert? Hello? Does that work? Wow, you can hear me. Oh, 10 o'clock, I got an hour. You guys had picnics? We got food in the other room. No. Good morning. How you all doing? I have a close friend, a guy that I grew up with in, I met him in college and we played on the same athletic team. And about this time a year ago, we had a conversation, and he was on top of the world. His oldest son had just matriculated to the same university, and his youngest son was doing well as a sophomore in high school. And work was going well. He had a couple of deals that were going to close, and he was going to make a lot of money on that so he could pay for college. And his marriage was doing well with his wife. And life was good, right? There's not much adversity in that life. He'd make his payments and all that sort of stuff. 2 months later, by November, the situation had changed. His oldest son went to no classes at university. Didn't attend, but was paying to attend. So you can imagine the grades that were coming towards his oldest son. It was a phone call to dad saying, perhaps your son should find another school. His youngest son was stealing from mom and dad to feed a drug addiction. The two deals that seemed so promising had blown up. His wife and him were holding it together, probably leaning on each other like crazy. And I think you could say he was staring at a pretty bleak future, kind of a hopeless situation. I mean, that's a lot of things to hit you all at once. I could handle a job loss or a deal falling apart. In business, if you're in business, you expect that to happen. All of a sudden, boom, you come in, your position has been replaced. We get it. We may not like it, but it's understandable. Okay, and I think you'd all agree, you know, that this couple, with both children apparently bombing out, were in a pretty hopeless situation. Now, I know a single mom. She's got a son, and she's been struggling to pay her rent and her bills, as well as keep her son on the right path. She's very diligent about her spending. She clips coupons. She hunts down the cheapest gasoline if she takes the bus, if not taking the bus. She rides herd on her son to make sure her son is going on the right path. And she was making her ends meet till all of a sudden the car she had died. And she needed $2,500 just to get the car back on the road. Now remember, before the car died, she was barely making it. I think we can all identify with this situation. Not a lot of hope. Matter of fact, a lot of hopelessness, again, for this woman. A high school girl I know, grew up with, she was struggling in a new school. Her family had moved into town. It was her junior year in high school. Is that important year, high schoolers, junior year? You kind of like to have a few friends junior year. all that's going on and everything in high school, just moved into town. All of her friends, real good friends, 1,000 miles away at the old high school, where she'd spent the last 5 years. She didn't know anybody in this town of Greenwich. Not to mention, the old school had 300 students total, and last I heard, Greenwich High School has about 3,000, give or take a few hundred, right, Cricket? Okay. So it's a bit of a difference. 10 times as many kids. Okay? No friends. No activities to be involved in. She wasn't a cheerleader. She wasn't in a key club. She wasn't in this. She wasn't an athlete. Pretty hopeless situation. I think you can see. You know, would I want to go to high school with 3,000 kids I don't know as a junior? Most important, one of the most important years in high school? Big time? Can anybody identify with any of these kinds of situations? No? I can. I see John's nodding his head, so maybe John can. Maybe you just got poor results from the doctor. Anybody taking tests and gotten results that weren't optimal? And you feel there's little else that can be done to get on the road to healing. Can make you pretty hopeless. Maybe an opportunity seemed perfect to you. Great job opportunity, new place to go, whatever. And it's exactly what you feel you're gifted for, what you feel the Lord set you up for. And as quickly as it's laid out, the rug's pulled out of it and it's gone. Life is full of the unexpected. I think we'd all agree. You wake up the next day, and all of a sudden the unexpected happens. Tomorrow it's not going to be blue sky and sunny tomorrow, I promise. May not be raining, but I think there'll be a little breeze. Okay? You never know what is going to happen. We wake up, we're humans. We go about our business. We go to the same coffee shop. We hop on the train to go to work in New York City, or we hop in our car and drive to commute, or we do whatever we're doing. We raise our kids. We change their diapers. We get them going. We get them fed. We go through our lives. And hope is not always what we have in the forefront of our thinking. As a matter of fact, if I was to open up the Sunday New York Times, how much hope do you think I would find in the front page? Why are you guys laughing? Some people blame this on circumstances. My situation's hopeless. It's just happened to me. I've come up with bad luck. We've all heard that said to us in one form or another. Others may say that friend of mine with the kids, he should have done a better job raising his kids. Have you ever heard somebody say that about kids that have gone awry or whatever? You should have done a better job. Boy, I know when I point my finger out, there's three pointing at me, so I try not to say that. I say, oh my gosh, that's a hard situation to go. Or that mom, she should have saved for a rainy day. Why didn't you save money? Or that high school girl, just go out and meet people. Whatever the reason, and there are many, life's full of unexpected situations, and they all can look pretty hopeless. And maybe there's something that we can learn from God's Word about that, and that's kind of what I want to talk to you today about. So, Robert, do we have a... There you go. Psalm 118. This is David. Do you all know who David and Goliath were? Not the TV show with the boy and the dog. I'm talking about the real David and Goliath, right? Okay. David was king of Israel. As a teenager, he was a shepherd. Shepherds are the outcast laborers in Israel. And that's where he started from. So David wrote this psalm later on in his life. And he says, "In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me, He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Now David, the author of this psalm, had a lot of hopeless situations. Can you imagine a 15, 16-year-old boy standing up, just, you know, sophomore in high school, Greenwich High, just going through a growth spurt, not filled out like a man, young skinny boy, taking on the guy that killed Osama bin Laden with the Navy SEALs. One-on-one, mano-a-mano. Sound like a fair fight for that Navy SEAL? That's the story of David and Goliath, and the skinny kid won. But a pretty hopeless situation when you think about it. Then, the king of the land puts a death sentence on his head. And they chase him all over Israel. Then, he was in an adulterous relationship. How's that for your marriage, David? Right? With Bathsheba, and God took their son. Now, David, like all of us, was faced with hopeless situations. What do you do when the king of the land puts a death sentence on you? Well, like David, I know I would say, feet don't fail me, run. Let's start running. Okay? And I'd run. And that's what David did. He ran and ran to escape the guys that were trying to kill him. But he did one other thing that I know is a secret to his success, turning the hopelessness into victory. Anybody know what he did? He did not trust in princes. He did not trust in man. He put his hope in the Lord. You see, he transcended, if you will, the real, what we see as the real, and moved into a position of operating in the supernatural, which only you can do with the power of God. And when you turn to the supernatural as a child of the king, you've got angels and armies and power that the other side can't even understand because they're still operating in the temporal worldly operation. David turned to the Lord when he was facing hopelessness of his circumstances. He was a man with similar self-created problems that we have. Okay? It was David's actions that created the relationship with Bathsheba. It wasn't like she went seeking him. Okay? He acted on his impulses. Probably not good impulses. Okay? And his actions caused him to have the adulterous relationship. Now, when Nathan confronted David, David turned to the Lord. And this self-created, hopeless situation was resolved. Not to David's liking, by the way, people. Not exactly how David would have liked it to work out. He lost his son. Okay? And that child, David tore his garments and prayed to God, please save the child. I repent for my sins. Didn't work. Kid was dead. 3 days after he was born, the child died. But don't think God is not a God of redemption. Because you know who the second child David had with Bathsheba was? Whom? The wisest man to live on this earth, Solomon. So we do have a God of redemption. Now when he and Israel's army was surrounded by their enemies, no escape, he turns to the Lord, who cut off his enemies and brought David victory over them. In the midst of what, in man's eyes, my eyes, would have been a hopeless situation. We're surrounded. There is no escape. Cut them off, and David won. Perspective, I believe, is the most important element when we're faced with adversity that can cause hopelessness. And if you think about it, and there's a battle between the Lord and Satan, Satan wants to get you in a position of what? Hopelessness. If you're in a position of despair, are you open to all of the problems, all of the things going on in your life? Absolutely. If you're in a position of victory, maybe Satan doesn't have as much power in destroying your life. And all he wants to do is to destroy and to kill. So one of the tools of the devil is to drive us into a position of hopelessness, if he can do it. If we approach difficult and hopeless situations with simply a human perspective, the result is going to be a lot less than what your Father in heaven wants. It was in anguish, not in victory, in anguish, David cries to the Lord, and the answer to David was divine. It was better to trust in the Lord than people of the power in this world. Those who David called princes. Those who we might today call senators or congressmen or policemen or whomever. I'm not saying don't trust in them, police, etc. But understand, where is the real power? It's not on this earth that we can touch and feel. It's in the spiritual realm, and you need to move into the supernatural if you are going to call on that. And as children of Christ, of God, we do have that ability. How do we gain that perspective? Isn't the adversity we face for many times of our own making? How do we turn to God when we created the hopeless situation? You ever felt like, I did this, I got to get myself out of it, right? The key is the capstone. Robert, go to the third one. Next, there we go. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. And that's the key to moving into the supernatural. And if you think about it, if in fact the capstone is whom? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who David was talking about in the psalm. I think everybody in this room knows that they fall short of what God's law, the Ten Commandments, calls us to do and to be, right? I mean, have you ever told a lie? The ugliest shoes you've ever seen that lady wearing, and you say, those are wonderful. Have you ever done that, ladies? Never. No. No, you always say, those are hideous sandals. That's a really good way to win friends, right? Cricket's laughing. Okay? Have you ever looked at a person, a man or a woman, with lust in your heart? Gee, good-looking person. Or been envious of what others have. Somebody drives by in a Tesla. Somebody drives by in a brand new car. Somebody has a brand new motorcycle. Somebody has whatever. Gee, I wish I had that. Now, God's Word says that if you have not lived up to His law and are guilty of any imperfect actions, that separates you from the perfect God. Simply put, God is perfect. He can't hang out with imperfection. And the Bible calls those actions that separate us from Him sin. And it's our humanness that separates us from God, which is pretty hopeless if you think about it. And God knew that also. And as a result of that, here's the good news. Only in Christianity does the Creator of this world say, you can't get to me. You're imperfect and I'm perfect. And He created the solution. Like David in the midst of his hopelessness, The solution seems impossible. We're incapable of living a perfect life. So God comes down to earth, fully God and fully man, and this stone or rock that the builders rejected, Jesus, took the penalty for the hopeless situation that we have created. He became rejected. He paid the price, dying on a cross. And then, as only God can, in the supernatural, He rose from the dead. Now, if this is what you believe as a Christian, you have direct access to God through His Son, Jesus. And if you have the direct access to God's Son, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Simply put, through Jesus Christ, the game changes for every single person sitting in here, and so can your perspective change. When things appear hopeless, as God's children through Christ, we can cast our anxiety on Him. We can cast the results of our own actions and our cares and our worries on Christ. And believe me, He can handle a lot more hopelessness than we can ever create or imagine or envision. So what does knowing Christ mean? It means, as believers in Christ's salvation, we have a personal relationship with a living person who opens to us the supernatural with our best interests at heart. Sisters and brothers, we gather here weekly for three reasons. First, to help you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, or as it says up here, to know Jesus Christ. Second, to help you find God's call for your life. And if you seek Jesus' call, you'll go places you never could even imagine. And finally, we exist to help you live the call. If you know Jesus Christ when faced with hopelessness, remember God's perspective, not the human perspective. No matter how well informed, this will make all the difference in how you face your situations. If you're seeing your family under helpless stress, like my college friend, put the situation on Christ, which he did. He's a believer. He spent a lot of time with his wife in prayer. And God will change his perspective. And that's what God did. He changed my friend's perspective. He started to look at it with the eyes of God. And when it appears that you, like David, are going to be pushed back to the point of falling backwards, God steps in. My college friend found a place for his younger son, who's in a schooling and addiction recovery place. It's exceptional. His older son's at a community college now, re-enrolled at a different college, closer to home with mom and dad, a lot of support, and he's going to class. Okay? He also has a couple of new real estate deals that appear to be quite promising, but are going to require a lot of work. Not without hard work, but the Lord stepped in what he felt was totally hopeless. The woman I mentioned in the hopeless situation with the automobile had another Christian woman step in the gap, helped her out with the car repairs, and that friend is helping her get back on her feet, walking with her day by day with budgeting, prioritizing her finances. Now, could it have been that that hopeless situation was what God used to bring two parts of his body together? To walk together, as we're called. The high school junior I mentioned, back when I was in high school, got involved with Young Life, where she was involved with in her old high school. And she's growing in Christ, as well as making quality friends, and growing in confidence in the midst of what could have been a totally hopeless junior year. And she could have gone the wrong way, and compounded her hopeless situation. As we know, some people have done in the past. I know there are people here today that are facing pretty hopeless situations. I know there are people who need a change of perspective. Well, you're in the right place. And it's no accident that you're here today. We have prayer teams that will be here during the communion time and also in the chapel. And they have been called by the Lord as prayer teams. And I encourage you, first of all, be very aware, prayer is total confidential. It never goes anywhere but with that prayer team and the people you're praying with. You can go there in confidence, confidentially, and get help. A direct reach out to the Creator of the universe. And as God's Word says, when two or more come to God in prayer, He hears us and He acts. Don't miss the opportunity to share your hopelessness, what's got you down, what's a cloud over your sky, with the prayer teams and use this tremendous resource. It's a tapping into the supernatural which changes your perspective. And how you change your perspective is by doing this as a Christian. I know if you turn to the Lord with your hopelessness, God will act, and you, like David, will be able to claim, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation." I also know, if you don't seize these opportunities, the other side is going to keep on pushing you down. Because he wants to destroy you. And it's our choices. There's a couple of ways to build up your walk with Christ. With the capstone. And with him, of course, we have victory. I really encourage you, if you haven't, the last time I spoke, I talked about the fact that we have daily devotionals that are little booklets. They're right at the back door, right by the offices, right on that little table on your right. One's called Our Daily Bread. One's called Encounter with God. Okay? Grab one of them. Grab both of them. They're free. They're there all the time. And I counted them all, so I know whether somebody will. No, I'm just kidding. But grab one of them and use them. Use them. Read it. Just 5 minutes in the morning. When you're on the way, before you've finished your coffee, just read it for 5 minutes in the morning and a little bit of the scripture. It will change your perspective. And perspective's really important. Another tool that we have are some of these small groups that Beth talked about. Community Bible study. If you have the opportunity to do that, a great way to change perspective and be with other believers. Another one that we're doing is we're doing a marriage class. Talk to me. Hey, if you want to have even more blessings in your marriage, I promise you, Jimmy Evans is a fantastic guy. It's great DVDs. No, I'm not teaching. Jimmy Evans will. He's much better than me. Trust me. And it's only 5 weeks. Okay? It's well worth it. And then I'll give you a secret on how you can watch him early in the morning at 6:30 and get a little bit of hope in your life every time by listening to him. But use these tools. Change your perspective. And if you have never asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I'd love to talk with you or the prayer teams after the service. If you haven't said, "Yes, I want to cast my cares upon you who've been broken," I'd love to chat with you. Thank you so much.